Well, ladies and gentlemen, this afternoon it's been a pleasure to meet the people of the Australian Maritime Safety Authority, essentially the control centre for the search operations which are occurring off the West Australian coast. These people have been working very hard now for a week, and obviously there's a lot ahead of them. We're hopeful, obviously, for breakthroughs, but these kinds of searches can take a very long time, especially when they're in remote locations, as is the case in this instance. Yesterday I had the opportunity to visit Pierce Base and to talk to the men and women who are actually taking part physically in the search. They expressed their gratitude for the cooperation that they're receiving from AMSA in helping to plan their work and making sure that we're targeting our resources in the best possible way. And I wanted to also pass on the government's thanks to the people in AMSA who are working day and night to make sure that we do everything we possibly can to follow up every available lead, and that this search is as thorough and as well organised as it possibly can be. I have been impressed with the dedication and the enthusiasm and the hard work that's going on. This work is on top of what these people need to do every day. And for that reason, we're grateful for the effort that they've put in. So I just want to say today thank you to the AMSA team. Thank you to all of those who've been involved in this search. Thank you also to those who are cooperating from other parts of the world. This is very much now a multinational operation. And we appreciate very much the time and effort that's put in. And we hope that soon there'll be more information available that might help to provide some kind of closure or at least an understanding of what's happened, especially to the families of those who were on board Malaysian Airlines Flight 370. So the search will continue, and will continue as long as there's hope, and I hope that we'll find a time soon and when we're able to conclusively say once and for all that we are close to finding where this plane may now be located, and that there can be some kind of closure for families. Now I'd like to just hand over to John, who will give you the regular briefing and explain what's been happening today and what's proposed for the rest of the day.
Thank you, Minister.
Good afternoon, everyone. That the operation today is a logical continuation from yesterday's operation. You might recall we defined a search area based on satellite imagery. We now have a little more satellite imagery than previously. China provided us with an image last night, provided it to us, and that we have incorporated that into our search planning. Today is really a visual search again, and visual searches take some time. They can be difficult. Our plan is to continue seeking to make sightings from the visual search, looking for the objects identified in the satellite imagery. We did make one sighting yesterday afternoon, which was reported in AMSA's media release. For just a little more detail, I will ask one of the Rescue Coordination Centre chiefs, Mr. Mike Barton, to give us a very short rundown on the aircraft operations for today and how we're following up on what was sighted yesterday. Mike, could you please, Fred?
We have 8 aircraft searching today, 4 civil jets and 4 military aircraft. The nature of daylight in that part of the world means we're only just getting into searching now, and the search will go on into late evening Eastern States time. The civil aircraft are crewed with emergency service volunteers who've been trained in air observer techniques in Western Australia, and we have used some from Victoria earlier as well. And the military aircraft, this is their professional bread and butter, their maritime patrol aircraft. The area continues to change as the water's movement changes. And we continue to track that with self-locating datum buoys, and we also seek expert opinions from organisations like the CSIRO, the United States Coast Guard and others. We put all of that information together and any new intelligence that comes to us about satellites to formulate an area, and we'll redo it again tonight based on what observations might have occurred in today's flying, and look to go out and search it again, and then we'll do it again and again until we have some sort of closure or positive sightings in the area.
Thanks, Bob.
Can we get more of a sense of what the visuals are yielding? There was a reference to one yesterday. Has any more come in today? And just on the one yesterday, would that happen to be a wooden pallet? Because reference has been made to that publicly.
Yeah, part of the description was a wooden pallet and a number of other items which were nondescript around it, and some belts of different colours around it as well, strapping belts of different lengths. We tried to refine that yesterday with one of the New Zealand aircraft, and unfortunately they didn't find it, and that's the nature of it. You only have to be off by a few hundred metres in a fast travelling aircraft, and so we've gone back to that area again today to try and refine it, but also continuing on with a methodical search of the rest of the area looking for these objects which are showing up in the satellite imagery to try and give us some clues.
But would a wooden pallet normally be associated with an aircraft, or would their containers be more containerized, to use a word?
Yeah, we asked the same question ourselves. So we went to some of the expert airlines, and the use of wooden pallets is quite common in the industry. They can be packed, they're usually packed into another container which is loaded in the belly of the aircraft, but within that container it's quite common to have items on pallets and then put into the other items, so it's a possible lead, but we will need to be very certain that this is a pallet, because pallets are used in the shipping industry as well.
And descriptions of other debris, has any description been put on other debris?
Well, we're not describing it as debris. What was described to us was a number of objects around which they couldn't quite determine what they were. The only other items that were given any real description were straps that were there, and again, that could be anything. And so until we refine these items and have a good look at them, it's hard to say whether they're associated with this or not.
And the search for the debris that was located by the Chinese satellite updated systems?
Again, that satellite showed an image of something that was in that area. It's consistent with other images from the early days, 3 or 4 days ago, in an area and a time and sizes. So again, the focus of our visual search is to locate some of these items and just find out what they are. The difficulty appears to be that looking straight down from above and a satellite is showing an object of some description, they are giving us sizes, but actually determining what it is from an aircraft at a lot lower altitude, looking into the sun or with the haze and all the rest of it, it's proving difficult to relocate these items.
And what's the biggest challenge so far of the search?
The challenge of this search hinges around its remoteness from anywhere. The aircraft are operating at extreme ranges from Perth, which is the closest airfield, or RAF Base Pierce, which is just up the road. And so at 2,500 kilometres away, they're operating at the limits of their endurance and only having a short period of 1 to 2 hours in the search area and then back again. So that's only allowing us to get in a singular search a day, which is, again, spreading the search out over several days.
And visuals on other objects, have any reports of those come in subsequent to yesterday?
No, yesterday was the first visual sighting we've had in the search so far, and today, as I said, because of the time zones difference, we're only just getting into some searching out there, so we're waiting to see what other observations are made out there. The weather was not as good today. Initially started, there was sea fog and low cloud out there, but the reports we're getting back now is that the western half of the area was quite clear, and it appears to be clearing to the east, so we're hopeful we're going to get a full search in with some good conditions.
Thanks very much, Mike. If there are any other questions of a general nature, I'd be happy to take them.
look, just assets in the days ahead, are they likely to increase, decrease, or remain as they are?
We're likely to see an increase in the availability of assets. Two Chinese Ilyushin 76 aircraft flew into Perth yesterday. They are preparing themselves today and will be engaged in the search operations tomorrow.
Has there been an indication from China in particular that they have an unusually high degree of commitment to this, greater than you would expect given where they are on the globe?
China clearly has an intense interest in this search operation. I believe they had 154 people on board the aircraft, and as we know from media reporting, the Chinese relatives and families are desperately concerned with the progress of this search. So China has offered the two Ilyushin 76 aircraft. There are a number of warships on the way to the area. The Chinese polar research and supply ship Shulong, which we worked with in an incident in January in the Antarctic, is now on the way to the search area. So China is very focused on assisting with this search.
Would it be reasonable to expect that having more ships in there could help with the visual identification process, or do planes remain the best tool for that?
Actually, you need both to do this perfectly well. You need aircraft to cover the large areas and get sightings, and you need ships or helicopters, but it's a very long way for a helicopter. But you need ships to actually get up close and potentially recover material so that, in fact, it can be identified. Mike spoke earlier about identifying the pallet. That means really recovering it on board and looking at the markings on it, for example.
How many ships are involved in this?
At the moment, HMAS Success is the only ship that's active in the search. We released the merchant ship that had been there yesterday in anticipation of bad weather coming through. She was worried about cargo damage and had done 3 days worth of work, so we released her. I think it will be probably Tuesday that the Chinese ships will start to arrive. One last question.
And on satellite imagery, has any nation or any agency or corporation indicated that there might be a further supply of imagery of use?
We are taking our satellite imagery from the Australian Geospatial Intelligence Organisation, who are doing the vacuuming up of material and processing and providing the service to us. As was briefed earlier, China provided a satellite image to us last night. We didn't request it, China provided it, and that's the way that rescue organisations work with each other. Could I finish by reminding everyone that our focus here is to define the very best search area that we can, and we think if this aircraft took the Southern Corridor, we have the best search area that we can. As Mike indicated earlier, it's been peer-reviewed by other organisations, and we have good aircraft, we have good controllers, we have good observers, so when we get the breaks in the weather, we will do the best visual search we can. AMSA still holds the gravest of concerns for the people that were on board this aircraft, and we intend to stick with this until we've done all we can. Thank you, everyone.